We're going to be diving into the Word today. Before we start, if you're new or a guest or unsure how things go, we have children's ministry in the back we have a nursery to preschool up through the sixth grade, so you can make your way through these doors and someone can direct you where to go if you have that need. We're going to start off in John chapter 5, and we're in a new series. Which I like the premise of. It's covering questions that Jesus asked. Questions that Jesus asked. And I like the idea of it. I like studying Jesus as a teacher, you know, studying Jesus as a leader, studying Jesus as a man, as a man who makes disciples. And he asked questions to get to the heart of the matter. And you know, sometimes when we ask questions, or a question is asked of us, you know, sometimes we know the right answer, or we kind of have an idea, or we're even, maybe we don't know what to say, but we're looking for the answer that the person who asked it wants to hear. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we're just trying to look for the answer that the person asking it wants to hear, and we don't give thought to the truth. And so Jesus is asking questions to get to the heart of the matter, and he wants to get to the truth, to the desires, to what's underlying the surface, what's down deep, in order to teach or do something to the person he's asking the question to. Does that make sense? And there is a, you know, you could give a quick surface level answer of what you think the correct answer is, but that may not be true in your heart. And so, last week we looked at the question Jesus asked the blind man who was calling out his name. He said, "What do you want that I would do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And that's a deep question. Hogan was encouraging us to pray and to talk to God at the end of worship, and I was just thinking, it wouldn't be a bad thing to answer that question, or to answer that question to Jesus. What do you want? Imagine Jesus asking us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And some of us have immediate needs that pop up because we're in the midst of really dealing with heavy stuff. And some of us are dealing with so many things that we wouldn't know what to say first. But it's a good question to consider, and I don't think Jesus would fault us if we pour out our heart to him with the things that are in the deepest place that we want from him. And so we're looking at a story today. We're looking at a couple of stories, two stories actually, so it's two different questions regarding healing. And so, you know, they know the verses, they picked up the song, "Jesus is My Healer." And knowing many of you in the room, I know that there's many of us that are seeking healing, that are seeking deliverance, that are seeking to overcome physical infirmity, disease, or seeking healing for relationships or marriages. And Jesus comes upon a guy, and we'll start it. I'll just read it in John chapter 5, and then we'll go through and talk about it. I want to pray first, if that's okay. Lord, I just ask you to move today, and I ask you to touch hearts. My prayer, if you ask me what do I want from you, I want you to meet the people that are sitting here. I feel inadequate. I feel weak. I feel helpless sometimes. But if you're asking me, I want you to touch these people's lives. Those that are here, I want you to touch their lives. I want them to know you, to experience your presence. Lord, I want deliverance. I want your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no disease, there's no tears, there's no sickness, there's no sin. I want heaven on earth for these people and in their lives, God. That's my prayer. And so I'll play a small part if you want me to today. I'll open your word and do my best. But I want you to take my loaves and fishes and feed the crowds. I feel like what I'm offering is about as effective as the boys' lunch and feeding the 5,000. So we ask you to move, God. Pray in Jesus' name. All right, John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time, he said to them, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. I'm going to stop there. There's more to the story. And so obviously, we're looking at questions Jesus asked. He asked the question, "Do you want to be healed?" And it says, it stood out to me as I was reading it. Verse 3, there lay a multitude of invalids. In verse 5, one man was there. And that one man Jesus talked to. He'd been there 38 years. And the question is, do you want to be healed? And when I was, given these verses to prepare and study, I read that, I kind of skipped ahead to see what the question was, without reading the rest of it. And the question is, do you want to be healed? And that might seem like an obvious question. It almost would, if it wasn't for knowing the one who asked it, it could almost seem cruel, like pointing out the obvious in this man's life, the obvious thing lacking, and asking him if he wants it. But then the question followed it is, would there be reasons somebody might not want to be healed? And it occurred to me to ask this of myself and to ask this of us, and not just in regards to physical healing, but we know sin is a disease, right? Sin is a disease. Sin is a sickness. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin, right? Sin is death. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses before Jesus, right? Before he transferred us to his kingdom of light. We are dead in our sins. Sin is a problem. And so the question occurred to me, why might not somebody want to be well? There's another translation of Jesus asking it, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? And there's lots of reasons that we might not, although we may suffer in our various sicknesses, our problems, maybe we suffer in our sin. There are, in a twisted way, sometimes benefits that come with. Sometimes if we're talking about sin, sometimes we love our sin in the moment. We love the act of our peculiar, particular sins. It doesn't take long, though, for us to reap the fruit of our sins, right? We reap what we sow. We might hate the consequences, but in the moment, we love our sin and we return to it and we repeat it over and over. And we may love it more than we love being well, more than we love walking in Jesus. We have to be careful to consider that question, do we want to be well? Sometimes, whatever's causing us to be unwell may give us comfort. It's familiar. We're used to it. We have a rhythm of life. We have a way of being that we're used to, and we don't want change. And so while we are unhappy, if Jesus asks us, do you want to be well, we may not immediately say yes. Sometimes our infirmity gives us attention that we enjoy. Sometimes it gives us an excuse for not living as we should, not doing what we should, not being who we should. Sometimes we've been so shaped and identified by the story that our infirmity tells us that we can't imagine ourselves with a different identity. Sometimes it gives us significance among others that we fear we might not have. Thinking about this story and this question, this came to mind. I don't know if it's relevant, but last night, I had a busy day yesterday, but last night, in the midst of running around and meeting with people, and I went out to Camp Ileana, by the way. Here's a little side note. I had the privilege of going to Camp Ileana last night. There's a men's walk to Emmaus going on. Merlin was there on Friday night. I got to pray and listen to his talk, which we probably just ought to have him come up here and teach sometime, just go through his talk. Stuart is there, and Tyler is there, Stuart Davis, Tyler Thomas. And so that was a wonderful privilege to see them. I saw a lot of you guys here, and we were able to worship together, take communion together as we waited to bless them. Well, in the midst of that, you know, I had to run some kids to go play pickleball because that's one of those things that, you know, sometimes we enjoy to complain about things, right? You know, like we have problems and we take pleasure in complaining about those things. Like we complain about them, but really we enjoy the complaining. You know anybody that like enjoys complaining? Anyway, sometimes I complain about driving kids around and like how much time I spend going to practices, going to school, picking people up, dropping them off, social events, but I would definitely miss it if it wasn't a part of my life. I'm taking too much time on this story, but the kids, I dropped them off to play pickleball, and I noticed on the soccer field next to it there was a game going on, and I knew that a men's league had started, and a new season had started for this men's league, and I walked over there, and I leaned against the fence, and I was just kind of watching. I had a few minutes. I was watching some of the game, and there was a guy there, and they were selling some food. It was like a big event, big party. And he came over and he asked me, I think he said, do you want to play? You know, it was one of those questions. Do you want to play? And, you know, I said, I've got bad knees. You know, like, I didn't answer his question, did I really? I gave an excuse. And I was sitting back there and it like brought tears to my eyes. I mean, obviously, the answer was yes. And that's a silly thing, you know, like, I played soccer 2 weeks ago, and I'm just now starting to be able to walk 2 or 3 weeks ago. I did play. But I imagine, like, as I was worshiping, like, leaning against that fence, what if Jesus came up next to me and asked me, do you want to play? And, you know, like, I had tears in my eyes. Like, I could... If I think about it too long, I'm going to cry. Like, imagine that invitation from Jesus. And if I knew it was Jesus, I probably would just say yes. And then I would obey whatever he told me to do. If he said, go home and get your cleats, you know, like. But it also occurred to me that this is another reason why I might not want to be well, because it was a decently high level of competition, and I'm getting older and out of shape, and it also occurred to me that if I tried to go out there, even if my knees were completely healed, I might make a fool of myself. I might stumble. I might fall. I might look ridiculous or pathetic. And it occurred to me that these are barriers sometimes for us coming to Jesus. I'm talking about sin and salvation. I'm not necessarily talking about physical health. But I want to encourage you to come to Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus, when he gives you the invitation, I want to tell you, if you're in this building today, Jesus is drawing you to himself, and he's reaching out to you, and he's inviting you to his life, the good life, the abundant life. And there may be reasons why you don't want to say yes to Jesus. You don't want to answer that question with a yes. And I want to obliterate your excuses. Please, reject your excuses. If you think you might stumble, you might not want to follow Jesus, you might not give in and surrender your life to Jesus because you might stumble or fall or look ridiculous, or you're worried about what other people will say, you're comfortable in your old life, you still are enjoying your sins, please repent. There's nothing better. Who else is worthy? There's no one. Only Jesus. I mentioned sin. Some of us enjoy sin in the moment, and then when the fruit of our actions comes home, we hate it. And yet we're not ready to surrender. Please. Jesus is worthy. He loves you. Surrender to him. Answer his question. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be born again? Do you want to be a new creation? Just say yes. We're going to see another story of someone who responds in a way that I think is instructive for us. So there's reasons somebody might not want to be well. And that man said, he answered him, the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Excuse number one, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." There was a legend. I'm reading the ESV, and it goes from verse 3 to verse 5. It omits verse 4, which isn't found in original text, but it's kind of a flavor text. It adds some background that there was a legend that the water from time to time would bubble up or be stirred up, and an angel was the one doing it, and if you were the first person in the water, then you would be healed. So this man was believing in that. Slim though his chances were, he was believing in that for his healing and his salvation. But when he answered Jesus, "Do you want to be healed?" he didn't say yes. I mean, I think he wanted to be healed, but he had excuses. He actually had some blame. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." And while I'm going, another steps down before me. He's got a problem with people, or a lack of people, you know, and his healing is kind of delayed because of his issues with people. Like Jesus is trying to get to the heart of the matter, and he's saying, there's not enough people helping me. And other people are rude, and they go in front of me. And I've been here 38 years, and people just jump in front of me. When Jesus wants to heal you, what people do or don't do to you is irrelevant. Thanks, Beth. No, please, you preach. I like that word. When Jesus wants to heal you, when Jesus is standing before you, what people have done or what they are doing or haven't done is irrelevant. Go to Jesus. Don't let the actions of other people be a barrier between you and Jesus. Jesus doesn't let it be a barrier. Jesus continues, and he said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." He gave him instructions to obey. Jesus heals. He heals in different ways in the Bible. You see, sometimes he just declares that somebody's healed, and they're healed. And I'm not sure that didn't somewhat happen when he said, "Get up." Because the man is just, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. He's not displaying faith necessarily. He may have just sprung up because of the command of Jesus. Or maybe he just gave it a try, and in the action of obedience, he was healed. I'm not sure how this worked here, but he did it. At once the man was healed. Well, there it says, he was healed. He took up his bed and walked. He obeyed. And we can participate. You know, who did the healing? 38 years, the man had zero power to heal. Jesus gets the glory. Jesus healed the man. And yet, the man participated through obedience in his deliverance. Jesus does all the work, but we do some of the work, is what it seems like, you know? And that's like our salvation. Jesus does all the work, but we participate with him in that. It reminded me of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul tells them to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God. I'll just read it. Merlin in his talk was talking about memorizing scripture, and I'm a big fan of it, but I've got some work to do. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God who's doing the work. So God does the work, but we do some of the work. But it's God that does all the work. Jesus healed him, but in the act of obedience, he participated in his healing. And so, you know, this situation, we went over this when we went through the Gospel of John. This is one of the signs Jesus performed. Got the man into trouble with the religious leaders. And that's not the point of where we're going today, but it was the Sabbath, and he was doing work by carrying his mat. And so, you know, they came and gave him a hard time. And he just said, all I know... he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who's the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. And so the man didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't have saving faith, and yet he obeyed and was healed. And when Jesus sees him again, he tells him to go and to sin no more, so that something worse, nothing worse may happen to you. There's worse things than being sick. There's worse things, you know, than having a disease, having an infirmity. It's not knowing Jesus. It's being dead in our sins, not alive in Christ. So Jesus tells him to go and sin no more. And this guy, I don't know about this guy, because then he goes around and tells the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. So I don't know if he's trying to, you know, like, maybe he's just a rule follower. They told him to tell him who said it, and he went and followed the rules. Maybe, I don't know if there's loyalty to Jesus there. I'm not sure what's going on in that guy's life, but Jesus healed him. And his obedience, through his obedience, he participated in it. You know, I was talking about my knees, and there's some things I know, like, that would help my knees. Like, I want to be healed, but if I would ride bikes with Evan more, I think my knees would be better. Or if I played pickleball with Jacob, that might help. If I stop getting food at the gas station. So, I want to be well, but do I want to be well? You know, like, I'm not sure what Jesus would say, you know, like, I would hope he would just heal me and tell me to go get my cleats, you know, in that little scenario I was dreaming up. But he might say, stop going to the gas station and getting food. That's where you get food for your car, not for your body. You know, lose some weight. He might say that. Do you want to be well? Yes, Jesus. Lose some weight. I don't know. I like, you know, I love Reese's peanut butter cups more than I want to be well? This man participated by obedience, even though he didn't completely understand what was going on. And yet Jesus still wants to deal with the issue of sin in his life. He wants him to be saved. He wants him to be born again. We have another story. It's in another gospel in the fifth chapter. Turn to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. Let's start at verse 24. This is a familiar story. And he went with him. He was going to heal Jairus' daughter. And as he was going, it says, a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. I love this story. There's a lot to be said about it. I love the image and the picture of this woman single-mindedly pressing through the crowd. You don't have any doubts, really, that she believes, do you? Stretching out her hand, touching the hem of his garment with faith and being healed. I love this, and I'm also, I'm troubled by it. I'm kind of haunted by it because I want to know, what does that look like? What does that look like today? You know, I can't go to the street that Jesus is walking down, you know, see the crowds, make my way through the crowd, and tag him, you know, touch the hem of his garment. If I could, I would, right? Have any of you ever been there like, Jesus, if I could do that, I would do that. I know there's many of you here that if you could, you would do that. Even if you had to jump on an airplane and go to Israel, you know, go to the streets where Jesus was walking, you would do that. And yet, how do we do that today? You know, the question Jesus asked is, who touched my garments? Or who touched, you know, the disciples repeat to him, you say, who touched me? Maybe he said both, and Mark records one and then the other. But that's a question that I would like to make Jesus ask. You know, I imagine sometimes in worship, as I'm stretching out my hands, lifting up my arms, reaching out, that I'm, with faith, doing what that woman did. With my faith, with my praise, with my worship, with my prayer, I want to get Jesus' attention. I want to lay hold of him. You know, Paul said that's what he does. Said, not that I've obtained it, meaning, you know, full maturity, full glory. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind. And I press on to take hold of that which has taken hold of me. Paul pressed on to take hold of Jesus. We know that God's eyes go to and fro, Scripture tells us, throughout the earth. They're roving over the earth, seeking someone whose heart is completely His to show Himself strong to them. I wish I could hug this lady. You know, my heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to her, seeking healing. She made efforts. She went to doctors. She spent her money. She was doing all that she could and knew how to do to find healing. And then she found Jesus. And I love her passionate intensity to go after Him. You see an interplay here, right? Who healed this woman? What was the source of her healing? Alone, it was Jesus. It came from Jesus. It originated in Jesus. It was 100% Jesus. And yet she participated in her faith. We see her having faith. She's trusting that Jesus is the source of her healing. And she's taking action to bring that about. And it's a mystery, right? Some things in faith, to a degree, are mysteries that we don't fully comprehend. But I want to encourage you to grab hold of Jesus, to run to Him, to go where He is. He can be found. He's not far off. We're called to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. So with all that we possess, reach out to lay hold of Him. At the end of that passage, it says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of disease." She participated in her healing, but without the object of her faith, she could have had faith in, you know, well, like the man at the pool, he had faith when the waters were stirred, he could be healed. He just couldn't get there. You can have faith in anything, but that doesn't mean that that faith will heal you. But she found the source, and she trusted in it, and she took action, and she got her miracle. I wrote this down, again, thinking of salvation, thinking of surrendering our life to Jesus. I said, healing, like salvation, is a work of Jesus. Yet we can block, resist, hinder, or reject what Jesus offers. You know, there were times that Jesus went to places, and it says He didn't do many miracles because of the lack of faith. But also, we see that we can participate eagerly, faithfully, and enthusiastically with faith and obedience. And we can work out that salvation. We can see that kingdom come. It's like yeast. Sometimes it starts small in a minor part of the big piece, and it works its way through everything. So I want to make Jesus ask that question. You know, I want to come in here on a Sunday morning and do everything within my power to touch Him, to grab hold of Him, to connect to Him, that what He has flows into me. I can do that in my quiet time, in my private life, by my prayer and diving into His Word. You know, there's a thousand ways to walk that out. But I want to encourage you to run to Jesus, to go to Jesus. If He gives you instructions, to obey Jesus. Go to His Word. You'll find instructions there. And trust Him to work powerfully in your life. Well, I think that's all I've got to say. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we've opened up Scripture. You placed these stories here for our building up, for our instruction. And we ask for you to make clear how we should move forward, how we should move and act, behave in this moment. Lord, I want you to walk through this room so that we can touch the hem of your garment. I wish that we could hear you ask us the question, and we could give you our answer. Do you want to be well? My heart aches for the people in this room that are struggling and battling and suffering. And we look to you, Jesus. We have faith in you. We trust you. You've been faithful. We can sing truthfully, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. So lead us as a church. Let us be a place of healing, a place of preaching your name, preaching your gospel. We want to lift you up, that people would be drawn to you like you promised. We ask you to move. We have communion. I'm sorry I'm being a little bit awkward. My mind just...